I was told there would be no technical
you were wrong.
Requirements here. I'm not a tech guy. All right, how do I turn the camera off so it doesn't lag me?
Hold down on. At the bottom of the screen, you got the little, there you go.
Thank you, Leo Laporte.
Well, you asked me.
This is Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Is he still with New York Times or no?
I don't know, dude. I don't watch that paid, that media anymore. Mm.
Yeah.
They're all lying. Yep. They're all lying.
Everybody's lying. Except us. Why we don't lie.
Always lying. Yeah, we don't lie.
Yeah, we're not Main Street media.
We don't lie. We're just ignorant.
We're not.
We might be ignorant on some of the facts, but we believe what we're saying.
We're Backstreet Media. All right. So, hey, you ready? Don't say it.
Born ready.
Fuck.
Are too late.
Hey, you're back listening to the Get Out of Debt Guy podcast with myself, Steve Rowe, the old Get Out of Debt Guy, and Damon Day, the new Get Out of Debt Guy. Before I forget, you can find Damon at damonday.com. And Damon, we got a couple of hot topics to talk about today. One, mine is strategic financial solutions that was finally, I mean, effectively, they're going to be shut down. But what was your burning topic you want to talk about?
Well, real quick, you keep calling yourself the old get out of debt guy, but you just wrote a new article for the first time in a while. So Steve is back.
Oh,
baby.
No. Back. Let's not back get
in,
out.
Back in the game.
No.
Back in the game.
No. I'm passing the torch, man. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. I've been doing this 30 years. And well, here's the problem, okay? I've been helping people with debt for 30 years. This thing comes out about strategic financial solutions. People who are just getting aware of debt or in debt or just looking into how to deal with debt for the first time are going to be shocked and outraged and pissed off all about this company and companies that we're going to talk about. But dude, I've been doing it 30 years. This is like Tuesday, you know? It's just
the same. It's the same stuff. Oh. It just goes in cycles. It's the same thing.
And you've been around so long. I just get burned out watching people fall for the same bullshit every time. But that's how I really feel.
Yeah. Well, what I was going to talk about today was some things that we almost. We talk about a lot, and it does feel very repetitive, but, you know, that another new report, it's like every quarter we get the next report. Credit card debt at an all-time high, right? Yeah. And then the next quarter, consumer credit card debt at an all-time high. we hit a new peak every quarter, and then especially with, you know, the inflation numbers, you know, the fake inflation numbers, whatever you want to call them.
The 3.1%.
Coming out, and then the Fed talking about probably not going to be lowering rates, you know, because what a lot of people have not thought about in a long time, especially with credit cards, is that floating interest rate. Yeah. And people haven't really paid attention to that for years because the rates have been just, not the credit card interest rates, but just the prime rate has just been so low.
Right.
And it hasn't gone up. And now all of a sudden in the last year and a half or so, with interest rates, I would almost call it normalizing.
Yeah.
Going to something normal where you could actually, you know, get 5% on a CD now. Remember those days, Steve? You had hair back then, yeah. Right?
Well, I'm getting 4.75% on a savings account. So, you know, that's good.
But that's what I'm saying. 2 years ago, that would have been like, you know, you got some drug, right? Like, hey, psst, come here.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get you 4.75% on the savings. Like, no, like that doesn't happen. This is a scam. You can't get 4.75%. But, you know, 15 years, 20 years ago, that was normal. To be able to get that. So these rates are kind of normalizing, but what a lot of people are forgetting about is the credit cards, as much as you thought you were paying 20%, 22%, 25%, hold my beer.
Right.
Because now these suckers are going up to 30% because they're moving up as the federal funds rate moves.
Yeah, they're going to run into the usury rates, you know, the maximum that they can charge. But
yeah, and if you're carrying 50 grand in debt, I mean, as a household, you guys are spending $12,000 to $15,000 a year just to service that debt, just to serve, just to, for whatever it was you used that for, whatever you bought.
Yeah.
you're having to earn 12, 15 grand every year, $1,000 a month plus, just to keep the status quo. That is a lot of money, and it adds up to a lot of dollars.
I hear your logic and facts, but I raise you with emotion. So, you know, the only people that this really matters to are those that are doing budgets and making spreadsheets and everything else, because the credit card debt, I agree. Credit card debt, all-time high, we hear it month after month. But the fact is that as long as consumer confidence continues to increase and people feel, it's emotion, man, they feel more confident about the future, that things are going to be better, they're going to spend. You know, what do I always say? That financial problems are just debt wrapped in emotion. And people don't spend on logic or tracking their spreadsheets. They spend on all sorts of underlying behavioral economic reasons, like keeping up with the Joneses or being influenced by marketing and advertising or needing a quick fix about something, not wanting to let the kids down, need to take a vacation, I deserve this. And you know that.
And your emotion wrapped up in some logic and facts brings me back full circle to my point, was you're right. This has almost become normalized for now. Right? It's not, people aren't, oh, I got 50 grand in debt, but I'm not freaking out about it. I know it's there, but I'm not freaking out about it. Until the sentiment, as you said, turns.
Consumer confidence.
And people don't feel as confident. Because I keep using the McDonald's example. I don't know why I always pick on McDonald's, but it always pisses me off when my kids want a burger at McDonald's.
Oh, it's so expensive.
Family of five, got three kids and my wife. We roll through. Oh, that'll be $62.75. For a couple of quarter freaking pounder meals? What the hell are we doing?
Yeah, I read a quote from McDonald's that said that they have continued to raise their prices every quarter because they have observed that it has not reduced sales. So as long as people continue to buy, you know, this shit's going to go up.
And Steve, and I keep going, I'm at a point where I feel like if you don't make $250,000 a year, you're struggling to survive in many big cities in this country, between the rent, mortgage rates, you know, food. It's not just eating out. It's not just like, oh, you make food at home and you're fine. I mean, the grocery store is ridiculous. Hey, dude, when I'm out there doing my Instacart, you know, shopping for our other channel, right? And I see these, there is no shortage of people shopping, asking for Instacart orders from Whole Foods and Sprouts. And I'm talking not a lot of groceries, and they ring it, ding, 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 $400. And I'm looking, I'm like, what is this? Like, you know, 3 days worth of groceries for $400?
Oh, how about that?
I mean,
one
it's crazy.
You told me about this week where the Starbucks green tea.
Oh yeah. I got paid. And again, for those of you not familiar with our other channel, the Penny Stupid Project, go to YouTube, subscribe to Penny Stupid. We teach you how to make money in the gig economy, because that's where this is all coming full circle. We got to make some extra money. But yeah, I got paid, I think it was $23, mm-hmm. right? Is that what it was, Steve? $23
For a grande.
To deliver a grande, not even a venti, mind you. This is a grande iced green tea from Starbucks. That was the only thing. There was no food with it, no other drink. One drink, a grande iced green tea. I took it 2.7 miles, and I got paid $23. Now, the consumer didn't pay $23, because I don't want to get into why, but the consumer probably paid at least an $8 to $10 premium, because they tipped me $4.
Yeah.
And so I know they had to pay at least $4 to get the drink. Plus, they had to pay for the drink on top of the $4 Uber charge plus the $4 tip. They were probably out of pocket $15 plus for a grande iced tea.
I was talking to Pam about that, and she goes, maybe they were having a bad day. Yeah, when they paid for that, they had a bad day, that's for sure.
But it goes back to, you start asking yourself, how are Americans affording these outrageous prices on everything? Everything is outrageous. How are they doing it? Well, ding, ding, ding. That is why we are currently at $1.13 trillion in consumer credit card debt. Again, another all-time high. And it's going to keep going up until it breaks. Eventually, we're going to hit that point. The consumer sentiment is going to go down. People aren't going to feel confident. The economy is going to start to falter, because it always goes in cycles. Yeah. And you, as you pointed out, it's driven on emotion.
Right.
And once people get to that point where they realize, okay, I can't keep up with the Joneses anymore. I can't, Uber Eats my green tea over here. I can't afford that. that's when things are really going to hit the fan. And the whole point of kind of this podcast today, at least from my side, was wanting to almost segue of what we talked about last time, which is take the emotion out of it. The sooner you can rip the Band-Aid off and realize that this debt is a problem and take the steps that are necessary to get out of it. I don't care if it feels embarrassing. If you can get out in front of it, out of it before most of the other Americans are getting out of it, you can position yourself to take advantage of the next downfall. Because I don't know if it's going to be a depression, a recession, whatever. It'll at least be a correction.
Yeah.
And you got to get out of this debt. It's killing
you. Yeah. Well, so here's what happens, right? People make emotional decisions. They spend. And all of a sudden, one day, it's almost like a switch instantly goes off, right? 3 o'clock one morning, somebody wakes up and, oh, shit, I'm worried about my debt. And then they go from happy, happy, happy to panic, panic, panic. And then they start making bad choices. And here's where emotion kicks in again, because when people wake up and they realize they think they have a financial problem, the minute you think that you do, you do. And so what do? Now, from being excited about spending, they get embarrassed about their situation. And so they don't reach out to people like you to get good, logical, balanced education. Instead, they reach out to companies like this Strategic Financial Solutions and their 20 damn, spinoff companies they had here. And they get ripped off. I'm looking for the quote here.
Yeah, it's.
But so the quote is, who is this? The Delaware Attorney General says about Strategic Financial Solutions and all their intertwined companies, this elaborate web of fraud was designed to ensnare, exploit, and obfuscate, all in the name of profit over people. And so that's what happens. You make bad decisions, unconscious, well-intentioned decisions going into debt, and then you're afraid to talk to somebody. I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed. I don't want to talk to anybody. Talk to Damon. You know, between Damon and I, we have heard it all. There's not a damn thing that anyone can tell me that I have not heard before and given someone a big hug about. There's no shame in being in debt. The biggest shame about being in debt is not getting the facts and getting answers and getting your questions answered so that you make good decisions. Now is the time to make good decisions to get out of debt.
Yeah, yeah. And most people, unfortunately, that point is when they hit their credit limits. Mm-hmm. And now everything's maxed or close to max. Their credit has dropped because of the utilization rates on their cards. And then the next step is usually, unfortunately, they'll try to get a consolidation loan. That's usually the next thing that's pitched out there. Oh, you have 50 grand in credit card debt. You want to get a $50,000 consolidation loan and pay that off, and your 25% interest rate credit cards will now be on a 15% interest rate consolidation loan. Oh, but what they don't really tell you, or you don't really pay attention, is that when you had 50 grand in credit card debt, those payments were amortized over 15 years
or longer,
20 years sometimes. And that payment to keep that $50,000 debt at bay was a certain amount, but now you transfer that onto a consolidation loan. Mm-hmm. That loan's only a 3 to 5 year loan. Yeah, the interest is lower, but the principal amount per month that you have to pay back is now a lot higher than it was. So now all of a sudden you got this consolidation loan because you had all this debt, but what you really have is a cash flow problem. You know, yeah, you got the debt there, but it was a cash flow problem. You have too much money going out the door trying to service all that debt. So you think, oh, I'll lower my interest rate. That'll fix my problem. And then you don't realize, wait a minute, 3 months into this new consolidation loan, I still don't have any extra cash. I'm paying out twice as much per month to service this debt. Granted, it'll get paid off in 5 years if I can pull it off, but you can't because you're already in a cash crunch. So what do you do? Well, I've got all these cards laying here just nice and paid off.
Yeah.
And I'm a little bit late. Oh, kids want to go to McDonald's. Oh, I need to have groceries.
Vacation.
Oh, utility bills due. And oh, all of a sudden, before you know it, a year later, oh man, I got 10 grand back on the credit cards again, and I'm still paying off this $50,000 loan. And by the time people usually come to me, we've got multiple consolidation loans and then maxed out credit cards because they went through that cycle multiple times. Yeah. And they didn't have a good plan and a good strategy. They just got sold a bill of goods by one of these banks that wanted you to, take on their debt instead of, somebody else's debt, because that's how banks make money, by you staying in debt.
And banks and debt relief companies. Another quote here from the Illinois Attorney General about this Strategic Financial Solutions quagmire, is consumers who are struggling financially and trying to pay down their debt need real help, not false promises and predatory fees. And he's absolutely right. People need real help. I have seen people, though, and I understand it exactly why they do it. I feel for them. But I have seen a family lose their house, have their house foreclosed on, because they didn't want to give up their daughter's private riding lessons and stable fees for a horse. You know, they just couldn't make that decision. And so they just kept spending and finally lost the house.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the big lesson for today is, like all of our lessons,
yeah,
just get out, regardless of what it takes, put the pride aside. I don't care if we're looking at bankruptcy, we're looking at, you know, settlement negotiation, we're looking at interest rate negotiation with a credit counseling type plan. We're looking at tiny feet. We're looking at, you know, going to get, you know, get out there in the gig economy, like I show you how to do on the Penny Stupid channel.
Yeah.
I mean, last week, Steve, and you know this, last week I made $2,750.
Yeah, in your spare time.
Last week, driving a car. Now, granted, last week, you could call it spare time, but when I went and looked at the numbers, I put in 40 hours a week.
Okay.
That week. Why did I do that? Well, because it was a special week. I'm out here in Phoenix. We had the Phoenix Open in town, a couple hundred thousand people flying to town. Hey, make money while the sun shines, right? So, you know, that was a special week, but on a normal week, I consistently make an extra $1,000 a week, just doing it real part-time. I do it for the channel, but I'm out there making about $40 an hour.
Yeah.
So if you're out there, you're in debt. I don't care if you're, you know, looking at a settlement strategy, you're looking at a credit counseling strategy, you're looking at just good old fashioned, we call it tiny feet here on this channel, but it's Dave Ramsey's baby steps, right? and there's nothing wrong with that, right? It's just different strokes for different folks. It depends on the situation that you're in. But there, in almost every situation, making extra money is not going to hurt you.
No.
Right? So sometimes that is the answer. What can we do to figure out how you can make some extra money, whether that's make extra money and snowball the hell out of your debt so you can get out of it a lot faster, to, you know, get in a credit counseling type program, or at least lower your interest rates. You make that extra money, get out of it faster. Whether you're negotiating, settling those debts, you know, that's a real aggressive strategy. It's rip the Band-Aid off type of strategy. But the more, with that strategy, the more money you can make, the faster you can make that money, the sooner you can get out of debt. So making more money helps. And if you find yourself where you're maxed out, you don't have the time to make any extra money, but you also are maxed out on all your credit cards, then maybe we are looking at something like a bankruptcy, right? I mean, sometimes that's what it takes. I mean, I filed bankruptcy. It was one of the, I wouldn't say the happiest day of my life, but it really helped me from a financial standpoint when I finally went and pulled the trigger and I did it. Now, looking back on it, that was back in 2012, right? But looking back on it, it was the best decision I could have made. It wiped my slate clean, got me a fresh start. And I'm doing a hell of a lot better today than I would have been had I just kept trying to, you know, pay those minimums and just try to earn my way out of it. And I did air quotes, but
yeah. Well, I was chuckling there because I had a flashback about, I guess it was a year or more that I was begging you, please, please talk to a bankruptcy attorney. What advice would you give a client in a similar situation? And, you know, you had the same resistance that everybody does. I went bankrupt.
Oh, absolutely, because I'm human. So I have a good saying where I say, if you're a client of mine, I say, do as I say, not as I did.
Right.
But in doing what I did, I learned what you should have did.
Right. Exactly. Well, the important thing is,
I should have filed it sooner, but it was a good lesson for me. And I became a much better consultant because of my own personal experiences and going through that and realizing this is not as bad as everybody said it was. If I just listened to Dave Ramsey, I would have thought bankruptcy was the devil.
Yeah, from a man who filed bankruptcy. You know, Dave Ramsey filed it. It made his career, too. So, I mean, here's the thing that we're talking about, the hidden shame of debt. And you listen to all these people with the personal financial advice, whether it's Ramsey or Orman or whoever it is. The problem is you can't paint a solution for an individual with a broad brush that's, you know, sent out there to everybody. Everybody's situation is different. And this is why I keep going back to why it's so valuable to talk to you, You know, go to DamonDay.com, connect with Damon, because your situation is going to be different than everybody else's. And you don't have to be embarrassed, ashamed, or anything else about talking to Damon. He's not going to judge you. I have never in my 30 years judged anybody for their situation. You know what? You made a mistake. Let's learn from it and let's move forward doing better. That's all we can do. And so that's what people need to do, not sit swirling the bowl waiting to go down the toilet.
Steve,
This
is just sounding like a commercial for DamonDay.com.
Mm. Well, it would be a commercial for me, but I don't talk to people anymore.
You mentioned it three times now, so clearly this podcast is very self-serving.
No.
Call me or not, that's up to you guys. You can just keep listening if you want.
Yeah. So, I mean, here's the thing is that, yeah, I don't want it to be a commercial for you. I would love to, you know, have lots of resources that people could reach out to. But it seems to me that almost everyone out there of the resources, whether it's credit counseling, debt settlement, you know, there are even some sketchy bankruptcy attorneys out there too. Everyone out there is trying to sell their own widget and fit you into whatever their solution is instead of listening to you and coming up with, you know, a larger holistic solution. We've been in this industry, you know, collectively 50 years, and I don't care what anybody says. Nonprofit credit counseling is there to make money because they have salaries to pay and everything else. There's no free lunch out there, and you need to understand what everybody's motive is to sell you their stuff.
Yeah. Well, and unfortunately, it's like anything else. I mean, everybody has to make money. I even have to make money. Mm-hmm. The difference is, you know, I just chose to kind of create the business structure around what is it that consumers actually need and what is missing out there. And I started doing this back when I was in college. So, you know, it's been almost 25 years now. And it was just a simple concept. It was like, what do people need? What do consumers that are in debt and in trouble, what do they need right now? What they need is somebody to sit down with them and look at their situation and just explain the options to them.
Right, just give them some facts. Just say, hey, look,
here's the situation we're in. Here's a couple things that you should look at. Here's a couple things that could work, and here's why they could work. Here's a couple things that are probably not going to work, and here's why they won't work. But that's all they need right now. They just need, stop, tell me what I can do so I can make a decision.
Right.
Because if you just call somebody that, hey, we sell bankruptcy, we sell debt settlement, we sell credit counseling, we sell, you know, Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University, whatever it is, they're going to tell you the thing that's going to work for you is the thing that they're selling.
Yeah.
And it's just common sense. You know, you don't go to a car dealership and ask them if it's a good time to buy a new car.
Right.
You know, it's always a good time to buy a new car down here at Rowdy Roddy Piper's auto dealer. Right. So that's what I do. Clients hire me as a consultant to sit down with them and say, okay, here's what we can do, and here's how your life would look if we went this route. Here's how your life would look if we went this route, or this route. So you can make a decision, because there's an opportunity cost in every decision that you're making, even the decision to keep the status quo, keep making the minimum payments, keep hoping that next month will be better, keep hoping that next month the transmission won't fall out of the car and you'll have the extra money to make an extra payment on the credit card. There's an opportunity cost in every action, even the inaction.
Well, and talking about opportunity cost, you know, people never consider, I got to dig my way out of this hole. They never consider, they're 45 years old, right? And you're going to try to fix the past and you're going to screw up your retirement and your future because you didn't make a smart decision.
Yeah.
So it's complicated.
Especially if you have somebody telling you, oh, all you need to do is take your $2,000 a month that you're paying on these credit cards, and you just send us $1,500 a month, and we'll negotiate it, and we'll settle it out, and you'll be done in 4 years or 5 years. I have a client
today,
now who,
I just
talked to her today, and she unfortunately hired a debt settlement company. I'm not saying all debt settlement companies are crooks and criminals.
No.
But
not,
you know,
all of them.
It is what it is. You got to evaluate them. But she had paid them for a year, over 10 grand, and they settled like three little small debts. And that was it. And she's got 20 some odd more that need to be addressed. And now she's a year behind on payments. And she realized the five-year plan that they laid out for her didn't really make a lot of sense once we started going over the numbers.
Right.
And so she, you know, canceled out of the program and asked for a refund, which they're supposed to give her of the, you know, the debts that they hadn't resolved yet. And now they've been ghosting her for 2 months. Yeah. So now the next step is, okay, now we're going to have to contact the Attorney General in California, and we're going to have to contact the Better Business Bureau. We're going to have to contact the CFPB, Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and in the hopes that these guys go, oh, you know what? Okay, it's easier if we just refund some of the money. But so far, they've just been ignoring her when she's asked.
Well, and Strategic Financial Solutions that I'm talking about, I mean, the reason they came up is because the CFPB just announced this big lawsuit against them. But listen to what the attorney generals are saying out there, because like Damon, like myself, like all the state regulators, we've seen this thing just repeat over and over and over again. So one attorney general said that the company preyed on hardworking consumers, charged illegal fees to unjustly enrich themselves and their business. Let this lawsuit serve as a warning to all who would follow in their footsteps. You know, consumers just keep falling for the same. What's that thing you say about the magic beanstalk letters?
That's what I say, magic beanstalk letters.
No, but you call a company and they sell you the magic beanstalk letters that are supposedly make your debt instantly go away.
Well, yeah. Well, these are the debt validation companies where they say, oh, you don't have to pay any of it back. We're going to send these letters, and the companies are going to run away screaming in fear of these magic beanstalk letters that we have that are going to make them so afraid to try to collect this debt from you that they go away. And so your $40,000 will just be instantly poof, vanished. And you can just pay us $20,000 and we'll send these letters out.
Yeah.
And they'll go away. Now the sales pitch is a little bit different than that. I paraphrased a bit.
Barely.
A little bit.
Just barely. But so there are a lot of companies out there that say that they're law firms that will do this and make your debt go away. We'll send a letter and then they won't be able to collect from you anymore. But I think North Carolina Attorney General said it best. People who were looking for help with their debts instead got scammed by these fraudulent law firms and lost even more money. So just because somebody says they are a debt relief law firm, the only debt relief attorney that I take stock in is a bankruptcy attorney, you know, who's registered with the state and has their law license with the state and can represent you as your attorney. A lot of these mail order attorneys, the thing about these fake law firms is many of the attorneys whose names are on the letterhead of these firms, honest to goodness, they found that job on a Craigslist ad or a Facebook marketplace ad or something like that. These aren't, you know, the cream of the crop.
And they're essentially just renting out their name to the company. Yeah. Like, oh yeah, you put my name on the stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the attorneys aren't looking at your account. They're not calling the creditor negotiating for you, but that's what consumers are led to believe, and that's why they pay that money, because they think, oh, I have an attorney that's going to take care of this for me. And that's, in most cases, not the case. In fact, to add insult to injury, you mentioned this, but a lot of times those contracts will add additional fees in there to say, oh, well, this is your legal protection fee in case you get sued, and it's going to protect this and protect this. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Why don't you just focus on, like, trying to do some things to not get me sued, and then I don't have to pay for the attorney to just essentially go ahead and negotiate the debt anyway. That's all they're going to do if they do anything. Yeah. If you get sued, they're just going to negotiate the debt. They're not going to show up in court and fight your case. I mean, at the end of the day, unless it was identity theft, you owe the money. You borrowed the money, you owe the money. Yeah, you can get cute about it all you want, especially with these magic beanstalk letters that we talked about. But at the end of the day, you owe the money, right? I see, you probably know that story. Back when back when I was a kid, but I must have been like 22. And I represented myself in court when I got sued by, what was it, Citi? I can't remember Citi or Wells Fargo. I think it was Citibank. And it was, the debt was sold to a third party, and the third party sued me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Good Will Hunting had just come out about that time. So I fancied myself after Matt Damon there, right? Like, okay, I could do this. I'm smart. I got California Rules of Civil Procedure in my office. I could go to court and defend myself. And, you know, and I went up and I was all prepared and I went in front of the judge. Ultimately, I'm not going to make the story long. Ultimately, I did win the case. I just want to point that out. But I had to win it on appeal because that judge was not having any of my bullshit. And I was up there, you know, pro se. I was like 20 years old. I was still in college. And basically, my whole case was asking for a summary judgment because they couldn't prove their case. They were a third party debt buyer. the only evidence they had was they said they lost all the records. Now, between you and me and the two or three people listening, I borrowed the money. I mean, I used the credit card. Yeah. It wasn't fraud. But hey, you know, when you're in court, truth doesn't matter. It's just what you can prove, apparently. That's what I learned. So I was super confident. I went in there and I was like, hey, they can't make their case. They can't prove I owed anything. And then the judge stepped out of line, took it upon himself to start asking me questions. Like, the plaintiff didn't put me on the stand and ask me, did I get a credit card? Yeah. Did I buy anything with it? They could have. They just didn't do it because this attorney was not very bright. I don't know why he didn't do it, but he didn't do it. So I thought I had a slam dunk. I asked for a motion for summary judgment because they couldn't meet their burden of proof. Bada bing, bada boom, we're out of here. But instead, what the judge did was throw a curveball and just basically looks at me and was like, well, did you borrow any money? And I was just like deer in headlights, bro. I'm 20 years old. I'm like, that wasn't in the book. The judge is not supposed to be talking to me like this. I'm not on the... He's not the attorney for the plaintiff. Why is he asking me this question?
Get out of my courtroom.
So I just was like stammering. I was like, well, I don't recall.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't want to lie to the judge, but I was like, I don't recall. And he was just sitting there going, okay, you got a credit card, right? Well, I'm not sure. So anyway, this went on for like 5 minutes and I was just like so flustered. Finally, he's like, all right, enough. He ends up ruling against me. So I lose the case, like $20,000. Now, I won on appeal because I was right on the merits. They didn't have the evidence to prove, because my whole argument was they could have said I owed $1 million and came with the same crap. So I ended up winning the case.
Well, but you know that, but that's pretty similar to what we've been seeing recently with people with some of these private student loans. Because you were telling me about one last week, I think, that the statute of limitations had expired on the student loan and they were coming back around to collect. And unless you looked at the fine print that said, you know, you don't actually have to pay this back if you don't want to.
Yeah, it was actually written on the collection letter, basically said in small print at the bottom. Mm-hmm. Well, because of the age of this account, we will not sue you. However, and I'm paraphrasing now, but it's basically like, but please pay us. All we can do is ask pretty please. Can we have the $225,000? Thank you.
Yeah, so one argument is people are going to say, well, you know, they borrowed the money, they should pay it back. I hear that all the time, but the other side of that that you don't hear is, yeah, but they lent the money and didn't take the risk. Why does it always have to be on the consumer? Why does the, you know...
There's a reason you're paying 30% interest. The banks know that not everybody's going to pay it back.
Right.
And I'm certainly not out here advocating borrow money with you not to pay it back.
No, you're not saying...
But the point is sometimes things happen and not being able to pay the money back is not the end of the world in the system that collectively we all decided to set up and agree to. Okay. I didn't create the system, right? It's don't hate the player, hate the game, right? The system is the system. The system has bankruptcy in there. The system has debt settlement, you know, in there where you can go and negotiate with these creditors and would the creditors like to have all the money? Sure, they would. Will they take less than all the money? Yes. In certain circumstances, they will take less than all the money, right? We didn't create the system. The system is there and you can take advantage of anything that you're legally allowed to take advantage of, you know, to win the game. I mean, we all played Monopoly as a kid. You want to win the game.
Well, you know,
the game of life.
Yeah, you go back though to the person who's 45 years old and they want to play by what everybody else thinks are the rules. And so they spend the next 5 years digging themselves out of this hole, eating beans and rice, you know, never doing anything fun, whatever, without realizing that you're essentially throwing away $1.5 million in retirement that you're going to need when you're 70 years old. So when you're 70 and broke, are you going to look back and go, oh, thank God, I spent 5 years eating beans and rice, you know, because now I need food stamps and some sort of shelter.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing is, it's not up to you and it's not up to me.
Oh, no.
It's up to the person, right? So it goes back to what do? I help the people, I help my clients understand those options and work through it. But at the end of the day, I don't say... You have to tiny feet.
No.
You know, you can't do bankruptcy. You have to do tiny feet. Right. You know, that's not my job. My job is to say, here's what the numbers are telling me we should do. Here's how that would look. And here's how that would play out. And here's how much it would cost you to do this or do this or do that. And then if somebody says, hey, look, I know based on what you said, I can file, let's say, bankruptcy.
Yeah, but I don't want to.
I know I would keep my house and keep my car and everything. But you know what? I don't feel like it. It just doesn't give me a good feeling. I don't want to do it. Okay, fine. I'm not going to keep beating them up over, well, I don't care how you feel. I said you have to do this.
Right.
You know, who the hell am I? No. Right? So I'd say, okay, if you don't want to do the bankruptcy, then these are the sacrifices you will have to make in order to get yourself out of this problem. And then we'll talk about, okay, what would the next option be? If I didn't want to do that option, what would I have to do this? And what would I have to do? Okay, maybe that's settlement, but I really don't like that. I get a queasy feeling about that. The whole idea of not paying creditors. Nah, that's not a good fit for me. Okay, we can talk about credit counseling. We could talk about the tiny feet. And then we get to tiny feet or whatever. And you might say, okay, well, I get that, but I don't make enough money to make this work. Yep. Well, okay, you might be right. You don't. Well, you have some money, so you have to sacrifice. That's where the beans and rice comes in. That's where you don't go out to eat anymore. You eat beans and rice. Maybe on a Sunday you can get some top ramen, you know, because it's to celebrate on a Sunday. And you get a roommate or two in the house. I mean, as long as you have some income coming in, there's things that you can cut out. But you might say, that's barbaric. I don't want to live like that. Okay, let's circle back to the bankruptcy then. Do you feel more shame in filing the bankruptcy to where you'd want to eat beans and rice and top ramen on Sunday in order to take 5 years and pay this back with the tiny
Yeah, you want $1 million when you're 70.
But again, that's not my choice for the client. My choice is just to paint that picture for them so they can say, you know what? I really didn't want to do bankruptcy, but I really freaking hate top ramen on Sunday. So I'll go ahead and do that.
Hey, speaking of ramen. So last week, I was making myself some ramen noodles, and it's comfort food. You know, it's from my broke ass
days. I was going to say, dude, got me through college.
Yeah.
I love top ramen.
So here's the thing. I decided if one package of ramen is good, two must be great.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I just made a bowl of gel.
What?
Well, I put the two packages in the same amount of water that you would make one. And it just became like one big gelatinous noodle. So no, don't do that.
Yeah. But now my wife says the noodles never dissolve. And I'm like, yes, they do. No, they don't. Yes. Okay. You're right. Well, I'm dead then, because the amount of ramen that I ate in college, clearly I don't have room for. They had to have gone somewhere.
Yeah, it's not in you. All right. So, hey, let's wrap this up. So if I'm not even going to mention your website, DamonDay.com again.
Yeah. Otherwise it sounds like a commercial,
but reach out to anybody who can give you collective independent advice. If you don't want to talk to somebody like Damon, then talk to a bunch of different types of debt relief providers. Don't do anything. Let that information percolate. Think about it. Think if you have any additional questions. But without good facts and information, you cannot make a good decision. That's all I'm saying. And I agree with you, Damon. I don't care what option people eventually elect to do, but this whole idea of the first person I called said the best thing I should do is drive a nail through my foot, so I'm going to do that, that's just stupid. You know, don't just leap at the first thing that you hear. Educate yourself.
Yeah. My favorite game, if you're going to call around different debt providers, you know, like a bankruptcy attorney, debt settlement company, credit counseling, maybe, Dave Ramsey certified financial advisor. My favorite game, more information is good. You can't ever go wrong to getting more information and deciding what you want to do. I always like to ask them, if let's say you call a bankruptcy attorney, say, what do you think about me doing like a settlement strategy? Right. And then you call like a settlement company, say, what do you think about me filing bankruptcy? And then you call a credit counseling company, what do you think about me doing like bankruptcy or debt settlement? Yep. And then you call Dave Rant and just ask them what they think about
hate each other.
Oh, yeah. And then, but by the time you're done, you're like, well, nothing's good. Everything sucks according to all these guys. It's super fun. And then you go, what was that? Oh, yeah, DamonDay.com. Maybe he can make a little clarity out of this mess or something.
All right, so go to YouTube, visit us on the Penny Stupid Project channel, and learn how to make some extra money. Have a great day. Damon, anything else you want to add?
No, but yeah, PennyStupid.com. Go to that channel. Even if it's just, if you live in a smaller market and you can make an extra $20, $25 an hour just working 1 or 2 hours a day, delivering DoorDash or driving Uber or Lyft or whatever, that could eat just 5 days a week, a couple hours a day. That'll add up to $1,000 a month. For a lot of clients, $1,000 a month extra, you might be able to just tiny feet your way out of this if you don't like the bankruptcy. Yeah.
All right, Damon, I will see ya.
Peace.